Right, so for the benefit of the beginners, I'll give you a preamble on the meditation practice overall. So why do we need to learn meditation in the first place? So naturally everyone has different reasons for coming to practice, but usually find that most people, they want to develop meditation to develop some peacefulness of mind and contentment, some inner happiness, and possibly to deal with the stress of everyday life. And even though meditation in itself is quite a simple practice, whether we focus on the breathing or focusing on the feet with the walking meditation or maybe some kind of meditation mantra or visualization, visualization maybe at the seaside or in a forest or in a church. But essentially, even as simple as meditation is, that it has quite a number of benefits. And these benefits go quite deeply into the personality as the months and the years go by. So as we start to learn meditation, and say for example after easily say 3 to 6 months, what the changes you actually see in the mind is increased say peacefulness in your day-to-day life, increased say quality of mindfulness or attention with one's work or with one's children or with one's chores, even when you're driving a vehicle. The person, they're much more focused, and essentially they may be more relaxed and more at ease, but you develop a sharpening of the faculties, the sharpening of one's peripheral awareness. So when the initial meditation wears off, you find that the person, the memory improves at least to a small degree, the sharpness of mind improves at least to a small degree, and they have more peripheral awareness, and their experience, they develop more understanding and more insight into what is going on both inside them on a personal level, inside the mind and body, and also externally, around them, in the world, in your day-to-day life, and what you see on television, here on the radio, see on the internet, you start to comprehend things on a more deeper level as the years go by, because within one's own mind that, the whole origin of the world of human society comes from this mind of ours. It's like it springs from the nature of human beings and the development of cities and social communication and technology. This is all a construction, a fabrication from the mind of the development of human beings over time. So the classic things that people develop within the meditation practice is say increased patience, tolerance, resistance to stress, less potential for irritation, anger, jealousy, because what happens is as you develop the meditation and you develop some emotional stability, with the training effect, with meditation you have a training effect, and so instead of going from extremes, from possibly anger to increased increased attachment or desire, by bringing the mind back to its center point, to a more peaceful point, to a point of balance and calm and stability, meditation it's a form of training, that one doesn't run to such extreme emotions that one may have had previously. So the person becomes more you see more emotional stability over time. So usually it might take a couple of years to kick in, but even after, you know, 3 to 6 months, that the people around you will see a change in your personality. And so, but also in addition, on the emotional level, you see an increase in emotional intelligence, increase, say, kindness, compassion, sensitivity to oneself and other human beings. So, you know, say for example, you were maybe quite a ruthless individual, maybe a bit of a hard case, that slowly over time, you know, you meditate every day for 3 months, absolutely guarantee that people will see a change in your character. And this Thai monk, when he worked in Bangkok, was a staff manager. He managed all the staff in the hotel, and he was a bit of a tough nut. And you know, I mean, sometimes he would be so forceful that he would actually make people cry, you know, bring people to tears. But he realized later, like he even said to me later, that he would never actually ever do that again after doing a rains retreat, 3 months of meditation, that he would never be that kind of forceful or use that kind of pressure on his subordinates. You know, he would make an effort to
empathetic.
More empathetic, and you know, he would make space for them if they needed like adjustments with their roster, if they needed to take a week or 2 weeks to see their parents in the northeast or this or that. You know, he was prepared to compromise because he developed a more empathetic, more sensitive, more compassionate attitude. Now, even though he could have easily had large hotel complex, easily maybe 200 people under his supervision, and his people are incredibly busy and working long hours sometimes. But so you know, you can see the kind of effect. You see an increase in emotional intelligence, but also an increase in intellectual intelligence, because you know, you're sharpening the faculties, the awareness of the mind, the speed of the mind and awareness. So you know, if you meditate for short periods of time, this is much more noticeable. But once you start meditating for a couple of hours a day, you know, it certainly may slow you down. Depending on the person, you know, it may, you know, for choice of better words, it may dumb you down. Once you start doing, you know, like 3 hours of meditation, 4 hours a day, not in every case. For some people, it definitely sharpens them. But you've got to be more careful, because your memory does get affected, and your speed. You know, you can't. Say for example, people who do baby meditations, micro meditations, 5 minutes here and there, you'll definitely get you may see an increase in the speed of the mind, an increase in memory capacity. But once you start bumping it up, you know maybe after an hour, people start to slow down a little bit. But you just do what feels comfortable for you in your day to day, say routine, or experience. And there was a lady in Bangkok who was working in the Australian embassy, and she was very, very busy, and she would only meditate for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and she found that she could function much more effectively. She was definitely faster, sharper, and she could make better decisions. Her mind wasn't so scattered, it was more focused, and she had more awareness, more understanding of what she was doing. And she told me herself, you know, she could make more, say, well-reasoned judgments and decisions with the stuff that she was doing. Because, you know, you're dealing with people, working, sort of like long-term visas could be easily like 3 months or 6 months or so. And, you know, it's quite a lot of emotional pressure. These people, they really want their visas, you know, as in the shortest possible time frame. And if you're the person, you know, who says no or says, oh, you know, you may have to wait, or you may have to make a resubmission, you know, some of these people get very, very upset. So, she found it worked, you know, very, very well, and she had increased resistance to stress. She didn't feel so tired at the end of the day. So, you know, there's many, many benefits. So with the meditation practice, I have to breathe more deeply. With the meditation practice, you've got the two main areas. You've got the peaceful, tranquilizing side of the practice, and then you've got the wisdom faculty. So it's all, you know, it's good to get peaceful and calm and happy and joyful, which will happen over time. But it's very important to increase your wisdom, your insight, your understanding of oneself and life in general. The higher purpose of meditation is to increase in insight and wisdom. You know, the high purpose of meditation is to become a wise person, is to increase your emotional intelligence, your intellectual intelligence, and understanding of oneself and of life in general over time as the months and the years go by. So the wisdom, you know, the development of wisdom is the pinnacle point, is the high point of Buddhist practice, and you know you never ever leave that behind. When you experience a new feeling, a new thought, a view, an opinion, a new person comes your way, you know, make an effort to understand what's going on in your life, because the worst thing you can have is to die as ignorant as the day you were born. You know, that's the last thing you want. So you know, Buddhism is very much a wisdom-based teaching from start to finish. You know, the wisdom faculty it permeates every aspect of the Buddhist teaching until one actually comes to, say, this very, very profound meditation and insight, which gives rise to the enlightenment stages, which is quite a very, very high attainment. Usually takes people at least minimum 2 to 3 lifetimes to reach that stage. So with many of us, we may be taking baby steps for a while, but essentially, you know, you can't go wrong. You know, you always improve. You know, if you approach the practice correctly, you always improve. Even if you feel after 12 months that the meditation's hopeless, it's not the case, because all that effort, that energy, you know, the investigation, the precepts, you know, developing, you know, all the foundation principles of the Buddhist teaching. If you're going this particular way, you know, you don't have to. You can come to this group. You don't have to be a Buddhist. You don't need to be a Buddhist. You can be a Christian, Muslim, Hindu. You can be anyone. You can follow any path that you choose, which suits your personality, because people have different, they have different karma, you know, they have different makeup. So, you know, people, they choose the path which is correct for them at that point in time. But essentially, if you're a good person, you know, you can't go wrong. So, to make a start with the meditation, we'll keep it nice and simple for the beginners. So I won't make it complicated at all. We'll do to make it easy, we'll use a very broad practice for the first 15 minutes, and then we'll sharpen it down and use a more focused meditation practice. And I'll talk you through it as we go along. So what I want you to do is we'll get ourselves in a nice comfortable position with the just sit upright with the back straight, the head upright and comfortable. And I want you to make sure there's nothing tight around the wrist, around the throat, around the waist. You need to breathe into the full chest. And so as you breathe into the full chest, I want you to watch the breathing cycle between the throat and, say, the abdomen. And so watch the breathing, you know, in the abdomen. Watch the full breath in that full chest area, all the sensations. And you usually find, I mean, I can meditate, I can't meditate at a rock concert, but I can meditate you know, in a hospital or in the middle of an airport, you know, at a football match, you know, without difficulty with this kind of practice, because it's very broad. There's lots of sensations, and you don't have to use this kind of laser beam focus or effort to keep hold of the meditation. You can go very broad, and it's very easy to follow initially. So for the beginners, it's a good way to start. And then once you get a handle, once you're able to follow the very spacious meditation, and then we'll just narrow it down, and then you just feel it out. If you feel that the more narrow focus is not suitable, just go very, very broad, and then use that as long as you wish, and then slowly over time, could be weeks or months, then you can slowly narrow the focus down as the mind gets more sharp and more attentive. So just close your eyes, just stay very emotionally and physically relaxed, and focus on that full chest and watch the breathing cycle for the next 15 minutes. So as we progress with the meditation, just watch all those feelings, any kind of feelings that you feel in the full chest as we go along.
if you feel a bit tired or sleepy, just try to take full, deep breaths, slow, deep breaths, right into the lower abdomen. And if necessary, keep your eyes open and your chin just upright, if you're able to, which increases one's mental and physical alertness. So even if we have a little bit of noise coming in from the outside, just try to relax. Don't resist those, you know, those noises, the train, the vehicles. Just maintain a sense of relaxation. Just allow the noises to come in to the mind, and just slowly over time, just let them go. if you find that if you breathe very slowly while you're doing the breath meditation, it has an energizing effect, a sharpening effect. And with myself, I just noticed quite clearly that it actually increases the level of energy in the meditation and the joy. It seems to sharpen the mindfulness, and it increases the flow of energy which rises with the meditation. So now we'll sharpen the focus down. So I want you to place your attention, your full attention, on your mouth. So as you breathe in through your nose, I want you to focus on your mouth, because the sensations are very, very strong, and it's much, much more easy to track, to follow. So focus on the feelings around the mouth. You'll feel the breath on the edge. I've done this for a number of years now, and it's a very, very good place to watch the breath meditation, and we'll do that for the remainder of the session. So as we develop this meditation, I want you to stay as physically and emotionally relaxed as possible, and I want you to breathe as slowly as possible. If you find that you're still thinking too much, what I want you to do is go to insight and understanding. I want you to understand those thoughts and feelings, explore them. You know, see exactly who they're connected with, where they're coming from, and why. You know, try to understand everything about them, because the more you understand the thoughts which disturb your meditation, the greater your understanding, these thoughts, they slowly subside. They fade over time and they drop down in intensity. You know, because the more you understand yourself, the easier it is to get peaceful and to maintain like a reasonably peaceful state as the days and the weeks go by. So try just stop and try to understand what's happening, and watch the mind very carefully. The mind will relax and let go and become just a little bit more peaceful. We're coming towards the end of the meditation. So if you can just reflect back and just see if you can see a change in the quality of the mind from the beginning of the meditation to the end. And I'll ring the gong 3 times and you can open your eyes when you're ready. Any questions on the meditation at all? Or
did the meditation help with your jet lag?
It might possibly take the edge off it to a degree, but I wouldn't say it's foolproof. It might give, I think it would give people a little bit more resilience, because they, you know, their mental, when you meditate, your mental energy increases. And even physical energy can increase to a small degree, and the person is less subject to fatigue, stress, tiredness, and it would certainly help. I mean, I just imagine meditating for a couple of hours on a plane. Most people would probably find it beneficial. When I did the India trip, when we were on buses and when things were quiet and there wasn't much happening. I just meditate for hours and then just all, 3 or 4 hours.
It's a good use of spare time, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if you're not actually working, if you don't have to make quite serious decisions, some people have got to be very sharp and alert, and they've got to be very careful with their work. There could be management decisions, there could be policemen or nurses, where, if you're in intensive care or casualty, you can't afford to make mistakes, especially like with drugs, injections, stuff like that. So you just, when you do your meditation, you just do it in a very, very safe format.
Because it's easy to miss a flight, wouldn't it?
Eh?
Easy to miss a flight.
Well, the last time I went see my parents 12 months back, I knew this lady was practicing, because she this is a very, very small mistake. And it's easy to make. She wanted to put my onboard luggage, my passenger luggage, which goes on the aircraft. She wanted to actually stow that away on the aircraft, and it was very light. It was way underweight, small bag, and she wanted to actually put that under the aircraft for what? She was working there, and she didn't really know what she was doing. And I could pick it straight away. I think she'd been she'd either meditated early morning, because it was so obvious, and she really didn't. She wasn't crystal. Yeah, she wasn't like on the ball. She wasn't crystal clear, and the characteristics were there, because I get that. I'm careful. If I'm in a very demanding situation, where I've got to be on the ball, I don't meditate right before I go in. If I'm leading a tour. I can be meditating early morning. We can have a couple of hours. We go away. We leave the hotel and whatnot. But you just got to be a little bit careful.
So you're talking about your brekkie roll.
breakfast bowl.
Yeah, the bowl that you guys bring.
No, just my onboard luggage, my little suitcase, little soft case thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a proper. It's like, you know, what the kids take to school, that kind of
backpack.
Size. Yeah, but it was only a little thing, but usually the staff wouldn't slip to something like that.
Mm. No.
It's small.
Did it fit in the overhead?
Oh, easily. It's not only like this. It's just like that.
I don't have any questions from the new people tonight. Four new people?
Yeah.
Any questions from the new people? Don't be shy.
I had the sure. Strangest thing happen, like 2 minutes before the end, I couldn't feel a thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
It was very super relaxing. I didn't want to open
one. Yeah, there's something in that slow. I used to do this not very incredibly slowly. Like I used to slow. Your breathing naturally slows down over time, but I deliberately went slow. And for any of you who do qigong, your qi will start flowing from your tantian. It was I've been doing qigong, basic qigong for 20 years. And it just opened up, and it just started flowing quite noticeably, and it energizes you and makes you alert, and it increases your inner joy. So, for any of you who find it useful, just do the meditation very, very slowly, because it'll increase the quality of the practice in the short term.
So it was
qigong.
What's
that? Just the Chinese energy, health energy exercise, increase the flow of natural energy. In the body.
Okay.
So in the beginning, so what happens is that you've got a couple of hundred variations on the qigong, but the bottom line, what the effect on your body and your mind is that you accelerate the flow of natural energy in your physical body and in your mind. So as you would be aware. Within the Chinese system, we have a meridian network where the bodily energy flows through the arms, the legs, the torso. And so as you do either Tai Chi, Qi Kung, I don't know about Feng Shui, it's a different system, but it's still like an energy system, the ability to read energies in the environment. I don't know anything about Feng Shui, so I won't speak about it. So what happens in the beginning, on the practical point, because there's quite a lot of information to it, that as you increase the flow of natural energy in your physical body, you'll feel it'll start to move from about an inch below your belly button, and you'll feel the energy start to move up the spine, up the chakras, and it could take easily a couple of weeks to get it moving. And then as the energy moves, as soon as you reach the periphery of the body, you'll feel especially the hands, that the hands will vibrate, and then you know that the qi has moved from the central part of the body, from that central qi point, right through and out to the fingertips. So you're getting full flow to the periphery, to the hands and the feet, and to the brain and the top of the head. And over time, you increase the flow, the forcefulness of the qi, and the quality of the qi. And to give you an idea, when you get good at this kind of thing, you can get quite. You won't get this every day, but you can get these full qi flow states, which is similar to the awakening of the kundalini. That the Kundalini yoga practitioners talk about, where you just get the massive flow of energy. Mm. As you develop the Kundalini yoga, massive release of energy from the base chakra. And sometimes this is just a little snippet, but if the mind isn't developed and the mind isn't ready, they reckon that some people you can become mentally unstable if you release that kundalini too forcefully, too quickly, and your mind isn't strong enough. It's actually like blowing fuses, blowing circuits in your mind, in your brain, more like in your brain, your energy circuit within your brain, possibly the mind to a degree, You've got to be, you know, if you've come across people like this, you can talk to them about it. I've never researched it. I've never got on the web and checked it out. But when I worked in mental health, I heard of a couple of cases of people who were dabbling in the Kundalini, had this kind of freak energy release and become emotionally unstable and ended up on the psych unit.
Become a customer sort of
thing. Yeah, become customers. But if you do, if you approach Qigong just in a very sensible manner, you won't get too much trouble with it. But you can get that energy flowing, you know, really, I mean, you won't forget this because it's really, really, it's quite an amazing state. You can get it flowing for 3, 4, 5 hours and, you know, you won't get happiness like this. The joy is so strong, the mental energy is so strong, like not the only thing which is going to touch this possibly is maybe the best dose of IV methamphetamine. I'm not being rude, but an absolute peak experience with another person, you know, like a physical experience with another person.
I don't know, we don't
want
to go there.
Yeah, I won't go into detail, but you know, it's absolute peak. That's the kind of rush you get, and you can sustain that if you really open your channels and you get that going. You know, you can go for hours with that state, and you know. I deliberately, yeah. All of you are capable of this. It's just a matter of training. I wasn't even trying. As soon as I went slow with the breath, it just started flowing automatically. So you'll feel an increase in mental energy, and joy, and happiness, and positivity. So it's useful. It's worth keeping in mind.
Well, that was I think there were some questions out of the box.
Oh, sorry.
If you want to have a look, I don't know what they're.
Okie dokie.
Questions from the question box. I don't know what they're like.
Excuse me, sir.
What's that? Kundalini or the energy? I've experienced something similar. It felt like an upside down waterfall coming from the base.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, that's right, exactly.
My spine and my sarcophagus. My mind stopped it because I started to freak out. Now, what do you do? I mean, how do you train your mind? What do you think? Do you just let it happen?
There's a couple of approaches you can use if you really want to get a handle and get a real feely kind of. Understanding of this. If you've got a potential, if you're not at like a regular people who do regular Qigong have a natural intuitive understanding of this. But if you're a person who's never practiced consistently and you've got a potential for that without even trying, but then again you can get people who do karate even with things like weights. You know, people who do professional weights, boxing, Tai Chi, all these people, professional sports people, have a capability because once you really relax the physical body and you increase the focus and the power of your mind, the physical energy naturally flows. This is why professional sports people, coaches, they tell their athletes, even professional, people who teach boxing, they encourage their boxers and their athletes, their gymnasts, to be as relaxed as possible because the body's more powerful. When you exert energy, you're not the muscular apparatus in the physical body. It doesn't restrict the energy flow. So, for example, if you're a boxer, the more relaxed you are, the more powerful you are. The more power you're going to generate when you hit the bag or whatever professionally, even things like javelin, weights, and all this kind of thing. It's a similar principle, increasing the potential of the physical body. But if you get that kind of that energy flow, just relax as much as possible. The more physically relaxed, the more forcefully that energy is going to flow. And if you really want to get it moving, just and you feel, you can feel it coming on, just focus on your tantien, 1 inch below your belly button, and you'll actually accelerate the flow of the energy because you're going to the source. You're putting your attention right where the action is happening, where it's coming from, because that tantien point is the center point. As the qigong, it's got some funny nuances, because if you stand qigong, you draw energy through the qi points on the soles of your feet, and you bring it up the legs, up the spine, radiating out, you know, through the torso of the upper body, through the brain. But also you can draw, when you stand qigong, you also feel the energy like vibrating and moving at the tantien point. And if you really want to get that energy moving, you stand like this. You stand in the first qi, Master Lam's first qigong position, standing like a tree, and very, very relaxed, absolute minimum 5 minutes. And then just maybe after a couple of minutes or so, after you get a feel for it, you focus on the feeling in your hands. Because when you do that, you just pull the qi right in, right through your tantien, and your whole body will be vibrating and maybe almost shaking in the beginning until you get some relaxation. And as you focus on your hands, whatever capability you have with the qi, it's going to pull the qi in, right through your tantien, right through your hands, and your whole body will just be flowing with qi. That's a very, very neat little trick that you can do. Because I know little bits and pieces that I've picked up. This is all ties in with the meditation, with qigong, tai chi. But there's lots of little things you can do, which are very, very useful. But they're energizing. When you get into this, the mental energy in your mind will increase. You'll get happier, positive, more joyful, and it's a natural outcome of that energy flowing through you, through your body and mind. But that one with the hands, that will get it moving really, really fast. Maybe even possibly, it's within 30 seconds I can feel it. But you could get that going in 7 days, I reckon. You know, minimum stand the qigong for 5 minutes.
So it's all right. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's a very useful. It's a good thing to do. Yeah. But you might find it very, very useful. When the energy flows, stay as relaxed as possible and focus on the energy. Just focus your attention on the energy, because you'll increase the forcefulness of it, and you'll increase your awareness, your understanding. So you can, at any time of the day or night, you can be sitting in a chair, you can be watching the telly. You can just focus. You can focus on your tantien, and that energy will just start flowing naturally at that point. It's a way of training oneself. And but that energizing principle, if you can get that flowing through the whole body, you'll be amazed. It's really nice.
Thank you.
No worries.
Can I just comment on that?
Yep.
The more you relax, the more you focus, the more you become focused, the more you relax. I've experienced it because I used to be a professional sportsman.
Sorry, professional
sportsman.
Right.
And my main sense is that the more that you relax, the more that you focus, the more the energy switches on, the more things simplify, the more it becomes more natural.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all tied in, because
you can't make it happen, it just happens.
Yeah. Because as many some of you might be aware that if your mind is very tight, restricted, if you're thinking too much, if your mind is all over the place, your mental energy, it's not like focused in a corridor. It's not like present moment. Like you're not like zoning in. People who climb, who are professional climbers. I mean, these guys are really, really sharp, and they're on the ball, and they live in the present moment because. You know, if they slip up, if they're not sharp and aware, you basically lose your life. You're 100 feet up, 150, 200 feet up a cliff face, and if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you can easily die. And these guys, they talk about what's the right words for it? That present moment experience where you just feel this sense of joy, of oneness with nature, because your mind is right there. It's focused, it's one-pointed, and you're living in the moment. And these guys feel this euphoria, they feel this joy, this natural joy which flows in a one-pointed experience like that. Yeah, it's like you're in this, you know, for choice of better words, you're in the zone. All professional sportsmen, they all experience this at some point. Okie dokie. How do we keep ambition out of meditation? Well, maybe you can be ambitious with meditation. What I would do, all right, say for example, if it was me, I was feeling ambitious. Say for example, you know, because I'm at the top of the line when Achyut Brahm is not around, and then I started to get a bit ambitious, a little bit power hungry, and wanted to be a big shot, wanted to be important, wanted to increase respect, authority, status, all the rest of it, which is a very big mistake to do quite early.
Don't kick a few heads in.
Well, it's a really foolish thing to do. By me going slowly over the years with my practice, it was the best thing I ever did. Achyut Brahm did me the greatest favour he ever did. It's really good, because if you start to get too egotistical, too egocentric, in my position, it can ruin your meditation. My meditation is going really well at the moment, and I really thank Achyut Brahm for basically slowing me down and not pushing me. He really allowed me to go very, very slowly, and he never pushed me at any point. It did me a very, very big favour. What I would do is, ambition is concerned with one's ego, and what are you ambitious about? What is it you want? Do you want to be something? Do you want to be someone? Or maybe you want to be wealthy, or you want material possessions, you want a nice big house. God knows, you might want to be incredibly popular with people. You might be, but then again, it could be quite wholesome. You might want to be like a major person within the environmental movement. It could be very, 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 very positive, optimistic. It could be, life changing for people in the general communities. But being ambitious involves thinking. As soon as you get ambitious, that's when you start thinking, and you're thinking too much about your projects, about the things you want, the things you don't want, the people you want to connect with, how much money you want to make. So all those things that you want as an ambitious person, essentially you need to let that go, and you need to put that aside and put that to rest for the short time, whatever it is, 5, 10, 30 minutes or an hour that you're sitting with a meditation, with a practice. So you can do a deal with yourself. You can say, I don't particularly, I want to put the ambition aside at this point. I just want to relax, be peaceful, develop my wisdom faculty, and do your meditation in a way, the best way possible to get good results, because all of you have different personalities, different makeup, different karma. So meditate in a way which works best for you. It doesn't matter, even if you think about fluffy, it could be like fluffy kittens or it could be anything. It could be little puppy dogs or it could be a beach scene. You're just visualizing yourself on a beach, or maybe in a forest, in a church, in a forest. If that's really good for your meditation, that's exactly the way you should go. And so with the ambition, which involves excessive thinking, whatever you need to do to put that to one side. And one thing which you may find quite useful is I do these mantras, these changeability mantras, which are very useful to get the mind peaceful. The soft and fluffy mantras are things like it could be like flowers are changeable, trees are changeable, the weather is changeable. The reason I do this, it increases the peace and the tranquility of the mind. It helps you to let go much more quickly. If you and you can use anything in the natural world, anything within nature, the universe is changeable. And you do these mantras as you breathe out, the universe, breathing in, breathing out is changeable. And these help to calm and tranquilize the mind, because when you develop this attitude of changeability, you are according with the natural laws which run this universe. You're aligning your mind with the natural laws of the cosmos. This is why it gets you peaceful. And if you people can't get peaceful after doing this for 1 month, then you do the very firm meditations, which I do regularly on a daily basis, and you focus on the physical body, but you can do it in a very, very soft, very comfortable manner. You can do things like head hair is changeable, or teeth are changeable, or nails, and this will get you peaceful faster than anything else you will see. You know, because it's body based. And all of us are very, very attached to our physical body, which houses our senses, your five senses, ear, eye, nose, tongue, and the body, connected with your five senses. Most of your thinking is connected with your physical body, all the input which is coming in to your eyes, your ears, your nose, etc. You know, it keeps stimulating memories and ideas and views and opinions and thoughts and wants and desires, all that stuff coming in to your mind through your senses. So when I do these changeability mantras, and especially when you focus on the body, any of you who struggle with meditation, don't waste any time. You go straight to the body. You only do one. You can do it for hours and hours and hours. You won't get any kind of negativity, problems with partners or children, or aversion or negative, or any kind of strange feelings. It's quite smooth, and it's very stable, and it's very balanced, and you'll get peaceful in the fastest possible time with this practice. I've been doing this for years, and I know how well it works, and it works very, very quick. And if you don't want to do it all the time, you just do it initially till you get peaceful enough. And then you go to the soft and fluffy mantras, flowers are changeable, leaves are changeable, I think it could be like earth, you know, the elements in nature, earth, wind, water, fire, could be sunshine, the moon, could be anything you like. You could be a chemist, you know, chemical compounds, a biologist, whatever your mind is geared towards, maybe even professionally. That's the way your mind is geared. That's the way you should go. And say to yourself, you know, use your understanding. If you're ambitious, why am I ambitious? Why do I want to be ambitious? You know, what are the drawbacks of being ambitious? The more ambitious you are, the more responsibility you may have to take on, the more stress and pressure you may have to take on. You know, because all these positions involve increased responsibility and work. So, you know, just think to yourself, you know, do I really want to think this way? Do I really want to go this way? Might be very fruitful and beneficial, maybe for people in general society. But, you know, you undermine it, you undercut it, and see through it with wisdom. You want to reduce the power of it, you want to put it to one side as you develop the meditation practice, or when you sit meditation. So, as some of you may be aware, this is a Tibetan mantra that they use for meditation practice. You can do it any way you like, and it's quite positive. It's got a positive, when you do this mantra, it's got a positive resonance to it that I've noticed myself. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani padme hum. Om mane 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 padme hum.